This area would have been packing plants, lumber yards, a little west, you have coal yards. Some of the big dogs would have included Cutler Hammer, Harnisfeger, Chain Belt, the Milwaukee Road Shops. This was just a beehive. They would talk about the bucket brigade of workers who would kind of pour in the morning with their lunch buckets and pour out again in the afternoon. It was a hopping place.
Is it possible to say how many of those positions were what we would call skilled positions today?
Most positions would have been entry-level. As time went on, things skilled up. You know, machinery got more and more sophisticated.
And I guess this is sort of a chicken and the egg sort of question. I'm wondering if you could talk about the businesses that were here. How did they lure workers, or how did those workers end up finding these businesses?
The chicken and the egg evolved coterminously. they happened together. You couldn't have industries without workers, and you couldn't have workers without industries. As industries developed, they had to recruit workers. The Industrial Commission in the state would send people to Europe to lure workers here. So there was a really concerted attempt to grow the labor force here.
Thousands of people did move here from other countries, and also eventually people from the American South ended up moving here as well. Could you talk a little bit about that constant flow?
As long as industry grew, population grew. And the population in the 19th century was very largely European immigrants. And then what happened is in the 1920s, Congress passed a couple of laws that cut off the flow of unskilled labor from Southern and Eastern Europe, a real outbreak of xenophobia, fear of strangers. And industries were still growing back then in the 1920s. The 20s were roaring. So they sent labor agents down to the American South, down to Mexico, and they recruited workers.
What was the role of technical schools, apprenticeships, unions?
In the 19th century, there was not much in the way of vocational education. And one of the first signs was what is now Bradley Tech, you know, the vocational high school in Milwaukee. That began back in 1906 when industry again is going great guns. They needed workers, especially skilled workers, as things get more and more sophisticated. So that was actually begun by the Merchants and Manufacturers Association, the early version of what's now the Association of Commerce. So you have a private group of employers starting a school so they can have workers for their members. One year later, in 1907, that became Boys Tech, and later on Milwaukee Tech and now Bradley Tech. So that's kind of the beginning of sort of public voc ed. There were also pioneering efforts on Wisconsin's part. Back in 1911, the legislature passed a bill or a statute to establish the continuation school, which is now MATC. And that was more guys, but also young women who were aging out of the school system, you know, but still not in work settings. And they were actually required to attend those kind of a basic level of courses at what became MATC. And that was very, very vocationally oriented. And MATC is still the powerhouse in terms of voc ed in the Milwaukee area. In terms of apprenticeship, there was really not much formal. Unions, you know, might have done some training for their members. But in terms of an organized industrial effort, that began actually after World War I. And one of the first companies was the Falk Company. Harold Falk, the nephew of the founder, was a real believer in the apprenticeship program. He thought that was a way to ensure a steady supply of skilled workers for it, not just his plant, but all of them. The fear was, you hire some guys, and they go work for a higher wage someplace else. So what he did was he put together the Metal Trades Council, and it was kind of a coalition of employers who agreed to kind of have standard policies as to hours and wages. The result was, in many cases, these guys, they could not even finish high school, go to work and stay there at a family-supporting wage as unions were organized and drove the wage levels up till retirement.
And generations followed one another into these jobs.
The surest way to get a job was to have a relative who was respected by the employer already working at a place. That was pretty much a guarantee of long-term employment. So, yeah, it wasn't just chain migration from Europe. One family comes, another one follows. It was chain employment. One person in the family getting a job, and then generations following.